Right, so let's see if we can do 30 minutes. I remember one of the Wednesday evenings like this. We had one of the brothers, what's the name of the guy? Fred. Fred can ask questions, huh? Fred will be throwing questions at you. So as I was talking, this topic I'm coming to teach on began to pop up. Answering a number of questions, this topic began to just pop up. And the topic is simply the reward of a prophet. I didn't say the reward of Mark. I said the reward of a prophet, which means that it can be purely any genuine man of God, called of God, any pure servant of God will fit into this. So the reward of a prophet. Let me start off by saying that today's Christianity has lost the culture of honor in so many places. We do not know how to attach real honor to the gifts of God that He has given to us as a body and as individuals. We do not know how to handle these gifts. We do simply because we have not even learned how to receive this graces or these resources. So there is a reward that is meant for you or meant for me. If I'm supposed to be receiving a man of God, a servant of God, entertain angels, entertain servants of God, as an individual and as a church, there is always a reward for you and I, flowing from that man into that life. So there is a need that we teach church to understand. If you study somewhere in the Bible in terms of honoring the man of God, honoring the servant of God, it says that they that labor in the word, they deserve double honor. I think it should be in the book of Timothy. They deserve double honor. And you go places, people may receive your gift. There are several ways of receiving the gift of God or the grace of God or the servant of God or spiritual leadership or spiritual covering. There are several ways. But you realize that a lot of the times, certain things fall short. So I want to teach people that God has given me so that we can have a very strong spiritual culture and never allow anything that God brings close to us, which is meant for us, to escape us. So that if we have me being here, we have any servant of God, we have anybody among us who is ministering to us or bringing us grace or serving. Let me use the word serving rather than ministering, because ministering you think always standing here. But serving and releasing the grace of God into our lives, we should be able to lay hold of the gifts, the grace, and the resources that are in these vessels. So let's also say, secondly, as we've just stated firstly, that it appears the culture of honor is lost in the body. Today you go to public places and you have a younger person sitting down and there is no space and they don't want the elderly to sit. They allow the elderly to step. We've lost our culture. We're a bunch of a generation who do not know how to even receive love and how to even throw back honor to the elderly. We are a bunch of generation that have lost the sense of this is rank. Until we see the police with brute force and military with brute force, then we correct ourselves. But in the absence of that, we keep moving. So we have a lot of lawlessness. People have become a law unto themselves. Sometimes you minister at places, they see a small boy. You are a small boy, I mean you are a small boy. Small boy in the sense of you are called of God, right? But you are a small boy and you have this elderly man or elderly woman who is called of God standing before you and you don't care. You just want to lay hand and we don't know when to lay hand on somebody or when not to lay hand. We have to learn these things so that we can be safe, so that the church can flourish. When we are able to establish a proper culture of honor, the church begins to flourish. Secondly, we need to be able to learn this thing about the reward of a prophet to be able to establish ourselves in the word of God for the kingdom to advance.
When we do it right, when we build it right, the glory comes.
When we establish right, the glory comes.
We can talk about... All right, I'll come to that. So Matthew chapter 10, Jesus himself who said, it's not me, Mark. Jesus said it. So we want to hear Jesus' word. Matthew chapter 10, the verse 40 through 41. I'm going to read two different versions. If you are writing, that is beautiful. Alice didn't bring notes and Bibles today. I am going to report you. I'm reading two versions. I'm going to read the New King James Version. New King James Version. And then I'll read the Good News Bible. New King James Version and the Good News Bible. Matthew chapter 10, the verse 40 through 41. What am I teaching you? I'm teaching you to learn how to honor God. The third point is that when we learn how we learn about the reward of the prophet and we actually apply it, we are learning to honor God. We are learning to honor God. So let's go. Verse 40. He who receives me, Jesus is first of all talking, right? He says, he who receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives me, and he who receives me receives he who sent me. So I have sent Priscilla, right? Priscilla is bringing a message to Precious. If Precious receives Priscilla, effectively Precious has received me. If Precious says, you know, they always say, get out. Get away. If Precious says, get away, Precious has actually told me, get away. You understand what I'm saying? This is the scenario Jesus is painting. Sometimes I want to relate it to you so that you can, when you are sleeping, you just remember, oh, he who receives me, receives the one who sent me. So, let's continue to read. Verse 41. Oh, okay, it's up to 42, right? 42. Verse 41. He who receives a prophet, you know, Jesus is establishing a principle. And from that principle, he's going to apply several things. So he says that, okay, I am the Lord, I am the King, I am the glorious one, I am Christ, I am sent of God. So if you receive me, you receive God. Or if you receive me, you receive the one that sent me, who gave me a message to bring to you. So what it means is that if somebody is sent, that person carries a message. Anybody that is sent, it's a message. Should I give you an example? One day David was standing and he saw one man running and coming. No, not David. His watchers, his city guards were standing on the tower. You know those days, if you look through town, somebody will build a house and then they will build some small kiosk and project it upwards so that if something is coming from afar, they can see it. Yes, that is the watchman ministry. That is the prophetic ministry. So the prophet looks and casts his eyes through the mist of the dark and is able to see through the darkness because he has this piercing eye that is empowered by the Holy Ghost. So here is David's watchman standing on the tower looking, and then there was a man who was racing and coming. They said, oh no, I see another coming. Oh no, I see a third one. And the third one ran and overtook the first two and came and was panting. What is it? He said, I have no message. He wasn't sent. He wasn't sent. Then the other one comes, and the other one says that, look, the battle was hot, and then the army, who did they kill? Is it Joab or somebody? They killed somebody. I've forgotten the story. So he asked me to kill him. I think Saul.
No,
am I missing it? Tell me.
No, this guy, Absalom.
But it is Saul. Yes, it is Saul. So he came and he said, who are you? Because the one that killed Saul, this one is Saul. Because Absalom got caught up in the ticket of the three. So he said that you are even a foreigner. You are a Gentile. And you kill, you raise your hand against the servant of God, so you call one of his servants to kill him. That's the story.
The first one that came didn't have any mercy. Nobody sent him. He came. He's self-appointed. If a man is sent, he's not self-appointed. He's appointed by somebody. Which means that sent people do not have authorities of their own. I don't want to go into the Bible and talking about apostolic sent one. But sent people do not have an authority of their own. They do not have a message of their own. They have nothing of their own. They actually have something that belongs to somebody and they are bringing it.
I want you to just hear this thing carefully.
Because many people look at pastor and say, oh, pastor, you might be a lazy work. They say, oh, they may cheat one day if you are not a when they throw you into bed, you will sleep like a baby. You will be so tired, your body will be so broken. They say, hey, Pastor Juma, they're easy. If you want to get quick money, you are joking. You are joking. Quick money, Pastor Juma. It's not about quick money. I heard a prophet who said he had a problem. He had a problem with money. So God told him one day, he said, listen, if they dash you, 1,000 Ghana cedis, do not take it.
See, when I see money, my eyes begin to worry me. So anytime they dash him 1,000, it is an explicit. God says, you are not traveling out of this country after 12 years. Invite from outside, I'm not going. Because God probably knows, in the mind of God, we don't know, that when they make this guy to travel to America, they're going to give you 100,000 Ghana cedis, they'll corrupt him. So even you are not traveling, say, stay here.
We need to understand certain things and then we can work in it. So Jesus builds a premise, a starting point, a foundation. Anything that Jesus built or Jesus is going to talk about, he lays a foundation. So the foundation is that I am Christ, I am the anointed one, I am the Messiah. If you receive me, you receive the one that sends me. And I have no message of my own, I have no authority of my own, I have no power of my own. Then he goes now to begin to express and apply. Verse 40, he who receives a prophet, he used the word generally a prophet, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a reward, the prophet's reward. And he will receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Verse 41 or 42. And whoever gives one of this little ones, only a cup of cold water, in the name of a disciple. In the name of a disciple. Assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Let's read a Good News Bible and look at the way he also put it. He said, whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Look at the chain. Me. Jesus, you, Jesus, and God. So God sent Jesus, Jesus sent you. That is the definition of a prophet. Oh, Pastor, I thought the prophet is the one who mentions the name of God. No. And mentions the name of it, mentions your address. No. That is not the starting point. Because if the prophetic is about mentioning names and addresses, some of us are not prophets. We are not qualified to be prophets. But we can say you are a prophet. Did Abraham mention names and addresses? But was he not called a prophet? Change your mind. Did John the Baptist mention names and addresses? Was he not called a prophet? How about Moses? Which names and addresses did he mention? Was it not the prophet? And Moses said, God will raise you people a prophet like me. So we are defining something here. We are defining a premise. It says that whosoever welcomes you, welcomes me and welcomes he who sent me. Whoever welcomes God's messenger, because he is God's messenger, shall receive in his reward, or shall share in his reward. I want you to just be thinking deep about these words. The first one says that if you receive a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward.
Then this version is saying that you shall share, you shall be inside the prophet's reward. You shall be part of the prophet's reward. I'll give you examples for you to understand. Shall share in his reward. And whoever welcomes a good man because he's a good man will share in his reward. You can be sure that whoever gives even a drink of cold water to one of this list of these my followers, because he is a follower, will certainly receive a reward. You see, people think Christians are fools. If someone sees you say you're a righteous man, I want to bless you. You're not even a prophet, call a prophet, right? You're not even a pastor. You're a righteous man, I want to bless you. Righteous man, I want to bless you. You know what it is? It's that God says that he's going to receive a reward. Just looking at you, say you're a servant of God. I know you're a man of God. You need this money for this program. You need this thing for this thing. I just have this little thing. You receive the reward. I'm just giving you some few examples. So let's begin to analyze this thing clearly. Now, if we take this verse or these verses, or we take the reward of a prophet to be an independent truth. So, you know, if we say something is independent truth, we can just say, hey, because Daniel is a pastor and I am a prophet, Daniel does not deserve the reception. I don't know if you understand. You are a church member. I am a prophet, so she does not deserve the welcome. She does not deserve being received. Okay, so I take you, I take Precious, I take Daniel, I take Pastor Tony, I take Prophet Tutu, we are going to a program. When we get to the program, then they say, okay, assuming independent truth, the truth is independent. It's not connected to anything in the Bible. That's the way people interpret Bible and they get into trouble. So you are seeing somebody in trouble right now. We go and they say, oh, let me give you an example before I come to this. So this pastor, and this pastor who is like senior pastor, goes with another pastor whom they call Bishop. So they went into an office. When they went to office, my name is Bishop, so this is Pastor, so. Because they call this senior one, he's the one who is in control of the whole of West Africa. They call him Pastor. That's an apostle. That's a guy in charge of apostles. And he goes with one of the junior guys. And they call him Bishop. So they went to his office and said, I am Bishop. This was. He said, let the bishop sit and let the pastor stand because there's only one chain in place. You see, we take scriptures in isolation, independent. So we go to this program and say, okay, prophet, come and sit down. Reverend, you come and sit down. And assuming there's something to share, they say, let's give it to the prophet. Because that is, we are considering receiving the prophet and the reward of the prophet. You know that our churches are weak in understanding of scriptures. Okay. So if we take this principle in isolation, you should be our Bible more and near thumbs up principally, we are in big trouble. And then we begin to emphasize only the office of the prophet, only the prophet. Then you know that, or the ministry of the prophet. Rather than seeing this whole principle of the reward of a prophet being completely joined and held together in everything that concerns the things of God, then we are actually breaking the scriptures into pieces. And we are beginning to think differently other than kingdom. So let's look. Who is a prophet? I told you of a definition and Alice was looking at me. Prophet. Are you trying to tell me that? If I cannot mention that, if I mention that, I'm not a prophet. When prophets operate, they can mention addresses. But that is not the definition of a prophet. They can mention it. The other day I was in a church. I knew this lady and I met a lady several years ago. I can't remember her name. Even when I was preaching, I would look at her. I just said, you, I know you somewhere. I know you sing. He said, yes. I can't remember the name. So when I had finished preaching, I gave the microphone to the pastor. I called the pastor and the wife to talk to the chair. I went in among the singers and she was standing there. Then I When I got closer to her this way, then the name, I heard the name. Emanuela. Bam. I said, Emanuela. I said, hey! You know me. Then suddenly, whether I could remember or I could see or I don't know. I could tell her stories of things that prophets can do that. But I see John the Baptist, I didn't see him mention addresses and names. I see Moses, I don't know addresses and names. So today, if you can't mention address and a name, you're not a prophet. That is, I don't want that definition. I want a definition given by God. So who is a prophet? A prophet is a divine resource or a grace or a gift to the body of Christ. He's a man. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says that nevertheless, we have this treasure, this golden thing, this precious thing like your name. We have it inside earthly vessels. That the excellency of the power will be of God and not of men. So a prophet is a man. God has placed something in him. We call it grace. We call it divine resource. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think the verse 15, Apostle Paul says that I am what I am by the grace of God. Nevertheless, not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, I labor more than all the apostles. There is something called grace. It takes ordinary man, transforms his life, and make him do extraordinary things. So you may be in church, and every person is looking at you. Nothing is happening. If you are more Bible cry, you may not be able to preach. But something hits you in God. Suddenly you start seeing differently. You start thinking differently. You start talking differently. You start behaving differently. You start bringing impact. That thing which we cannot physically lay hold of, it is called this treasure, this grace, divine resource. So when we talk about he who receives a prophet, he who receives the divine resource, he who receives that grace given to him will receive the reward or share in that reward. Secondly, we want to talk about a prophet as a covering, as a source of life, as a source of protection, as somebody that brings into your life divine protection, divine grace, that opens the door for you to come through spiritually. This is a prophet. We call them spiritual leaders. We call them our pastors. We call them our evangelists. We call them workers in the church. We can give several names to them. We call them Joseph in the palace. Yeah, he's not standing in church. He's in palace. He's serving the palace. He is a prophet to Pharaoh. If Pharaoh that did not receive Joseph, you just imagine what would have happened. He's called Daniel. He's in Babylon. Every day he's in suit and tie. Every day he's dressed. Maybe he's sewing in the shop. That is a prophet. He has allowed his life to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. He has embraced a call from God. He has decided to walk with God. And he has decided to be the source of God in the midst of all the chaos. He is called Noah. When God says, I regret that I made man. Noah says, no, I am here. I validate you. I'm one righteous man. I bring you the situation where you can look upon and say, yes, at least among all these corrupt people, I have one. That is a prophet. He is a source of life. He is a source of covering. You know, God have designed from the very onset. Let me share some things with you. God have designed from the very onset systems and procedures by which he wants to bless his people. God, from the very beginning, has had it, one method, to provide a flow of spiritual life, a covering, a primary grace. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, the verse 2, that the grace of God that is given to me for you, the grace of God given to me for you, God will never
bring angels physically to walk down this earth, and then they will come and touch you. He will use a man. So if you look at a man's nose, say this one, his nose is too big. He cannot be a man of God. What are you doing? He said, this one, he is too short. How can such a short man, Kapopoe, be a man of God? And this one is wearing too much beer. How can he be a man of God? You see the way we define things. We define who a man of God and who is not a man of God. So we miss our blessings. Bible says by faith. So we miss the divine ability. So we miss the divine ability. You see the person calling? The gentleman. So we miss the divine ability that is supposed to make you and I who we are supposed to be. Because we have our own definition of who a prophet is and who a prophet is not. God has had one method. It is called covering. It is called primacy of grace. Later I'll teach on primacy of grace. Primary. If you go to a house, there's somebody called a father and a mother. They are the ones that determine what happens in the home and what must not happen. Who sleeps at what time and who does not. They are the security of the house. So God has designed by one method that there will be a flow of spiritual life, and that is a prophet. That is an apostle. To bring blessings, to bring protection to his people as a whole. And we may call it the covering of Christ to start with. That's the primary, the covering of Christ. But Christ has left the earth. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that before he left the earth, when he was going, he led captivity captive in his train, and he gave gifts unto men. So you read verse 7, the verse 8, and the Bible says in the verse 9 that he went into the lower parts of the earth and he spoke principalities and powers. In the verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists. Why? That Alice will be built up. Why? That Alice will be equipped. Why? That Alice will have grace to become. Hey, you're a man of God, maybe. After all, if you can see vision, to me, too, I can see vision. People don't understand. They don't know what is called ranking. So we are not getting there. We're not receiving the rewards. We're not touching. When I listen to a man of God, when I'm listening to a preacher, when I'm sitting before a preacher, you literally see me praying in tongues, and I'm writing. I'm like, God, everything that is of you that is inside that man, I want it now. Give it to me now. I shared a testimony some weeks back on a Sunday where I was watching Dr. Loris Tete. I know some of you know Dr. Loris Tete. And I was watching this man. The video got to this point so many years back. I was in secondary school so many years back. Me and the video got there. I was sitting on the floor and I started shaking. I just started shaking. The sound, the music in the video changed. It was as if another atmosphere was covering this present atmosphere. Suddenly, I started shaking. I watched that particular video twice. I shook twice. Oh, we got to the same place. Why? When I listen and I watch and I come across a man of God, I receive him with all my heart. Because I know he carries something called divine resource. I know he is going to bring me through with some grace to actually be a blessing to me and empowering the graces of God that is in me and stirring the gift of God to come alive. If not, why this preaching? Can't you pray in your house? Don't you pray in tongues? So what again? Why are you here? You see the secret? We need something to move us from here to here. So people don't understand church. They say church business, they're a business bar. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. It's not a business. So this is the Father's enterprise, Jesus and Sons Company Limited.
He has a very serious mission. And that mission is your life. Or let me put it, that mission is centered on spreading his purpose. And that mission is connected with your life becoming what it must be. So you go to church. You know, people go to church today. They don't know why they're going to church. Because every Sunday, I should go to church and I should go and worship God. Why are you worshiping God? Why are you even allowing that preacher to stand there to be preaching to you? We need to begin to think seriously. So Jesus does not do things or say things because it is exciting to say. Let me read some more. So that primacy of grace, Paul says, the grace of God given to me for you. I have nothing. Me, I have nothing. You know why? If somebody gave, why is he giving? For you, for my wife, for my children. Noah, by faith, when he was warned of the troubles to come, he built an ark to save his family. What is Noah saving? An ark. He's saving his family. No, you think God could not allow Noah to swim in that water? Allow him to swim. He said, no, I think your time has come, so you need to die now. Swim in that water and die, and let me take. I mean, God could do anything. He said, look, I've given this man grace. He could hear my design. What are you building? He said, God has shown me some cargo. I need to build a cargo. Rain is coming. Nobody has seen rain before. Then he comes and said, my wife, rain is coming. Jephthah, Japheth, and all. Rain is coming. You guys need to position yourself. Okay, Papa, we'll obey. So he's building an ark. People are laughing. This guy, what kind of church is he running? What is he doing in that small room? Somebody was angry. Now, why am I doing church in the room here? Hey, there are offices around. Why am I doing church? Did you pay the rent? Or God gave me grace to pay my rent? Now, the person wants to be here. The person said, I want to come and visit you. And many have thought about church in terms of, I want a breakthrough. So just breakthrough. Oh no. Please begin to think big. Your God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above whatever you ask or imagine. So what you are asking is nothing compared to the power of God. His power is described as unlimited resources. Unlimited. It's like you are giving a check. They say, go to the bank. Any money you want, go and cash. You are even confused already. Because it's only one check. What are you going to do? You sleep in the bag the rest of the days till you think and you determine how much money you need. Unlimited. If we think only about breakthrough and not think about he who sent, if somebody is sending somebody, it means that he has a plan, he has a purpose, he has an intention. So today, a lot of our, when I see somebody say, me, I'm a motivational preacher, I say, you are worrying yourself. You better if you are called by God, you are called by God. Me, I'm not a motivational preacher. Remember somebody tell me, say, hey, you speak like a motivational. I said, I'm not a motivational preacher. Don't come and change my calling here. Don't change it. I am a preacher. I am called to bring something from. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. He says that, for I know that through your prayers, my deliverance will come and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. For what? For what? We need the kingdom to move. We need God's purposes to spread. But today, people have hijacked God's church. When he comes, go and take care of my bride for me. I'm coming. Then they hijack the bride. Then they keep manipulating the bride. They keep manipulating the bride. Then they take over the bride of Christ. When he comes, God has established. Later we'll talk more about spiritual. We can talk about spiritual covering for 6 months. What it does in a person's life. But it's just a small bit. Lastly, the word prophet is a general term. First of all, Jesus means prophet. Prophet. But also it's a general term to mean what? Evangelist, apostle, righteous man, he himself said it. He will receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. Name it. So God have established a manner by which divine resource, what he is in heaven. He said, okay, let me take a man. Because of the plans I have for that man, that woman, let me put this thing in him. Let him be the conduit, the pipe, to supply it to my people. So he came to his own and his own rejected him. What happened? They forfeited their own grace. The thing that is supposed to make them. He said, you Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will never see me again until you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Okay, let me put it another way. Blessed is he that comes in the name of a prophet. Blessed is he that comes in the name of an apostle. You are never going to see me again. You are never going to have a vision of me, no sight of Christ, until you begin to come down to acknowledge the basics of, I am sent by somebody. I am he. So today, Israel is without a king. No king, no lord, no temple, no worship. Because they have never acknowledged their grace. Jonah says, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he cried, he said, he that looked at idols or vanities, God says, look at this. He said, no. God, this one here is too big. Look at this. That's why our spiritual warfare, for example, is polluted. That's why our prayers are polluted. Today, God says, come on, you are so powerful. I created you in my image. I've anointed you. Go face principalities and powers. Say, no, God, I face my auntie. I finished my auntie. I'll finish her, cut her head off. then you remember the kikipan. So this auntie of mine, her name is, then they will buy a bottle, or buy oil bottle, write their name, then they chew the paper, and they scatter the persons like that. People do all kinds of foolish things. So, after you finish chewing, you see the person's mouth begin to turn this way. And you say, because you see, you open, God says, here is it. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Say, no, I don't want the name of the Lord. I don't want anything Christ. Pack that thing aside. That preaching you are preaching, pack it aside. Tell me something. Tell me God bless you. That is why you don't see me bringing any kind of preachers here. I'm trying to look for my preachers and bring. Because if by the time we finish building, then God enters and then he says, here is door. He wants to go this way. He's hitting into a wall. He'll judge you. He'll deal with you. God says, receive a prophet. Receive the revelation of Christ. Receive the kingdom. He said, no, I want to eat crumbs. You audition, dress like audition. He said, no. I'll be a prostitute. You are this. He said, no. He said, you're my servant. I've called you. Go and preach like my servant. He said, me. I'll go and behave like a hireling. You know a hireling, he doesn't care about the sheep. Only he's thinking about his salary. Give me money. So you pay him 2 days, he watch the sheep's more, then he's gone. After he finished spending, he come back. 12 wolves have eaten about 14 of the lamb. He is just concerned about his stomach. That is what people are preaching. We need, see, church business is very serious business other than money business. The money is only an accompaniment that comes. If we build a big temple, will God live in it? Acts chapter 7, 44 down. God does not dwell in temples built by the hands of men. What an honor. He moves. He said, you build that thing, you put all the chandeliers, all the shiny stuff, all the lights, park it somewhere. I'm going to live inside Alice. Then Alice goes to the temple and begins to worship the temple. Then you know there's a problem. He said, I want to live inside man. Then man goes and then worships some Hindu god and bow to. Because listen, my son is not behaving right. We are losing grace. We are losing what God wants to give us. So, being a prophet, for example, does not start with, I'm going to stop somewhere. Does not start with I can see the name and address and the specific. No. A prophet is simply what God calls a person. Let's just back. Abraham goes into Gerar. He meets Abimelech. Abimelech tries to play with Abraham's wife because Abraham said, "It's my sister." If you're writing your note, you write that an example of a prophet, Abraham. Then God comes to say, "Hey, don't you know he's my servant? Or don't you know he's my prophet? Don't you know I called him? Don't you know he's my representative? Why did you do that? Go and tell him to pray for you, and you'll be healed, and your family will be healed. If not, I'll destroy you." Joseph is in Egypt. He is the one that can save Egypt. Who is a prophet? A prophet is one that is able to penetrate a system, influence it, and conform it to God. So if we send you, Alice, to a village right now, and you wake up one morning and gather all the people and fire prayer over their heads and their chiefs give their life to Christ. I don't want us to start thinking I'm a prophet, so if I can't see a vision, I'm not a prophet. Then John the Baptist is not a prophet. Where are the prophecies of John the Baptist? Compare John the Baptist to Jeremiah. Who is a prophet? You say Jeremiah. Compare Elijah to John the Baptist. But the Bible says that John the Baptist is greater than Elijah. So why are things arranged this way? God wants accuracy. If we can never be accurate with the plans and the purposes and the design of God, we cannot have access to his resources. So you wonder after when I say I'm teaching today about the reward of a prophet, suddenly you would have just been thinking about me. It's more than me. It's pointing off to Christ. So I'm going to stop somewhere here. And then next week, by God's grace, I'll start defining some of the rewards of a prophet. But if I start and I will not finish, I have just about 3 or 4 here. If I start, we will not finish. Or I have about 10. If I start, we will not finish. Even one will not finish. So let me just try to end this way. The reward of a prophet places everything beyond the man that is standing. The reward of a prophet is beyond the gift of the prophet. Even though the gifts of that prophet, if I say gifts, understand now, as that divine ability that gives the man the ability to be able to speak his mind, God's mind, brings God's grace, minister God's resource to you. It goes beyond that. The reward, what God wants you to lay hold is beyond your breakthrough. Please hear me. What God wants you to catch is beyond, I've broken through, I have a car. What's the check? What's the name of something? What's our bread? They drive me. You'll be a driver. This is what I said. But it's good to have it. But that is not just the reward of a prophet. It is one of the most tiniest things that flow out of the reward. So it does not mean that you should not desire to have a car or be rich. Sunday I was telling you, yeah, I want all of you to prosper. Financially prosper. So there is grace to be able to make you prosper financially. There's ability, power to prosper, power to shine, power to become, lies in that reward. Because the reward is tied to the one that did the sending. It brings you back to the one that did the sending. So it is beyond the prophet. It is beyond the apostle. It is beyond the pastor. It is beyond the evangelist. Pastor, how does God heal people? I don't know. I can't just... Unless maybe he opens my eye, then I'll see that something is moving and something is shifting. Then I say, oh, have seen it. But in the name of Jesus, are you the healer? No. Say, Uber, oil, no matter 1,000 Ghana City. Oto oil, no, you have to be a friend or in Shiraba. But if you're Israel, who you are, Sunni, you are a fetish priest. Now, I'm not going to you see, I don't test this, but Bosom Ben, no. And you will be your friend, no. Ring be a friend of cord of the cocoa pot. What kind of bosom soup? Me, you see, oil be a friend of something sweet water. Abba sweet water. What is wrong with you? You are a fetish priest. You are a fetish priest. I wish I'm on TV saying this. Then you go to your chamber and be guessing. You are a fetish priest. You have nothing to supply. You are coming to tie people's destiny to idols and under the sea, to destroy them, to steal their purposes. Let me tell you, when some of these people say, I'm a man of God, they have nothing. When you get around them, they look at you so bright. Me being a prophet, sometimes I meet people and I just see the light on them. I just see some star on their forehead. Shine, say, wow, this woman has glory, has honor. I was ministering in the church and I said, woman, I like your spirit. I will prophesy to you, okay? I like your spirit. Then I went to prophesy to another lady. I never knew that is the lady's junior sister, and she's the one who got her born again. So I'm prophesying to her, and it's like, Pastor, can I say something? I said, that is my sister. Everything you are saying about her is true. So, wow! So the glory upon you, the glory upon you. Wonderful. So if I'm a fetish priest in suit, with a podium like this, and having congregation, a nice building, and I daytime preacher, nighttime idol worshiper. I see your light, then I carry the light, then I give it to maybe Daniel who is close to me. So I pack people's seven lights and give it to them so Daniel can shine more. You are a thief, you are a robber. You need to be arrested. That's what I mean. So I don't know how God healed people. That small boy, the face swollen like this, in the name of Jesus, over the phone, 3 days or something later, he said, Pastor, everything has disappeared. Pastor, how did it happen? I don't know. Why did God even do it? He just wants to supply grace. He wants somebody to catch his reward. Okay, I have an understanding now. How did he do it? Clueless. Pastor, what did you do in the name of Jesus? But how do you pray in the name of Jesus? And I know that he answers to his name. And he has given me grace. And when I speak, he will do it. Why? He wants to honor himself. So take all the glory. I said, may and ya may you see me. Who you are nothing. You have nothing. You have nothing. So today's church have hijacked Jesus' bride. I call them vampire ministries and rapist ministries. You know how vampires behave? Precious, have you watched a vampire movie before? Let me say Dracula. Have you watched Dracula before? Where they bite people and then they take the person's blood. Usually they bite on the left and they dip their teeth into your jugular vein and drink all the blood out of your system. Then you fall dead. After some few minutes you rise, you become a vampire. That is what is happening in our church. So we have multiplicity of vampires in our churches. Our churches are just more vampires. One vampire leave, another vampire occupies. We can't see anything. May God deliver his children from wicked prophets.
Amen.
I know they will not like me for saying some of these things. I know even the demons that are hearing this blast of light and fire, they don't like it. Why is this guy teaching these people these things? God wants your eyes open. Let me say this. You go to some of the places. They say, Nyamia Mamia, don't. Do you know what they do? They take one problem out of your life, they add six. You go with one sickness, you leave, you are coming back with a more difficult sickness. Your conditions never abate, never goes down. Your soul never changes. It's difficult, difficult. Then he said, Pastor's name Naya Trofo. No. Noah is standing in the midst. The He says, God, if you are disappointed in all, that'll be one. So why did God give this grace? Why did God call me a man of God and ask me to start church? And then I said, I've started. Then I come alone and come and pray. Then one person joined. Before two. Today I was driving, I was thinking, yesterday and I was driving, I was thinking, I said, oh God, thank you. This thing is going to grow. Because I was alone. I was one crazy one. Then another crazy one joined me. So I catch that madness also. Then before I realized another one, Daniel also joined, caught the madness. Then say fast. Then I mean, wow, this thing has a future. This thing has it, a divine plan. God have something beyond you and I. So do you know what I want you to see? Begin to look beyond your breakthrough. See the bigger picture. See the grace of God. Look beyond me. Look beyond yourself. Look beyond me. Look beyond this small room. 5 years from now, you look back and say, wow, I was in that small room too. That's why we are taking all these videos and taking all these pictures always. So that all these backgrounds will reflect. We are not ashamed to tell our story and know where we are coming from and always put it out that this is where we came from. You have become man of God for the hour. You, there's no man of God for the hour. There are only prophets and servants of God. Call of God. So let me end. It is only the spiritual that is of real value. The only thing of real eternal value is the spiritual. The only thing that is of real eternal value is not my car. Car can break down. But when it breaks down, you can still serve God. The pastor who came here this evening was telling me. I was telling him that I tell all the people around me, the leaders around me, people I'm grooming into the place of leadership. By the way, everybody here is a leader. That is why it's not anybody I thought I would come to church here. So don't be worried if you don't see somebody here. Because I'm not going there again. Why? You know, I don't like the way they preach. No, I'll make you a leader by force. I'm not going to be pampering you. I will make sure you grow. When Alice told me, Pastor, I've started something, I said, wow. And today we are talking, Alice is beginning to take steps further into the open field. I said, wonderful. Continue to move. Let it expand. Small. You are developing your leadership capacity. One day when you go apply for a job somewhere after you finish your some qualification, you go, they say, but all these years, you know, you say, no, I took initiative. He said, so with this job, what can you do? I am able to take initiative. That's why I took initiative to start something at. I said, wow. People don't know the plan of God for their lives. The thing that is of real value is the spiritual. That thing, every eternity. You can't drive this car into eternity. They will sack you. They will chase you out. I said, my friend, take that thing. It's not fit. Why? The day before the Lord is like, it's like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years before the Lord. So you're driving this today, you think you're driving something. 1,000 years ago, they released in heaven. They pack it. Scrap. We can't see it anymore. The soul of the car disappeared. So, hey, this is my brand new car. I'll die with it. You are late 1,000 years. Wait, change. You can't take some of these things. But when it comes to spirit, the spiritual, when you live out of grace, grace doesn't change. It grows, but it's in that capacity. Like a seed. The seed has the tree. Only thing of no value is the spiritual. So have before you the ultimate. It's more than a break. So Alice, you'll break through. There's no doubt about it. Mommy, you will break through. Precious, you're going to break through. Daniel, you will be. All of us here, Mr. Jololo, Sister Celestine, my wife, everybody! We are going to be. But that cannot be my primary focus. He that looks at lying vanities forfeits the grace teachings of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, I just want to stop here. I just want to stop here. This evening is not much of a prophetic time, but some things are working out. Let me ask a question.